Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show.
You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul highlights, life-changing spotlights she has shared with leading teachers in the human consciousness field since 1997. Go now to newsforthesoul.com to hear the full shows totally free. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Memories from Heaven, that's what we're going to be talking about today. Dr. Wayne Dyer's last book, co-authored with Dee Garns. And the day that Dr. Wayne Dyer passed, we were actually in communication with Hay House and trying to book the interview about the book. That obviously got put on hold. Everybody was in shock by his passing, and it was a process kind of picking up the conversation. So, you know, divine intervention happened a couple of times, and this is when we're supposed to be having the conversation. My guest this hour, Dee Garns, co-author of Memories from Heaven, Children's Astounding Recollections of the Time Before They Came to Earth. And again, this is co-authored by the two of them. We've got Dee for the next while here live on News for the Soul. Dee, welcome to News for the Soul.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's interesting. I've been so excited about talking to you about this book, and we've had a couple of rescheduling, so today must be planetary alignment and all kinds of epic things going on. Today's the conversation. So I'm excited. I want to start by asking, how did you first connect with Dr. Dyer?
Well, we have been next door neighbors for a few years, so that's how we met. And I have been a massage therapist now for about 16 years. And so he started coming to me for massages regularly. And then with that, we started to get to know each other, and we ended up becoming great friends. And then I just kind of morphed into being his personal assistant. And so we worked very closely the past 4 or 5 years. And then this book came about, and we did this book together.
How did this book come about?
Yes. So this book came about. I had, at the time, my son Marcus was 17 months old, and he was just wanted to speak and talk so bad. And Wayne said, Dee, this is the time. You need to ask him where he was from before he was here and ask him what God is like. And he would pick him up and look at him in his eyes and say, okay, you tell me about God. I know you know. You tell me. And it was fun. And, well, this one particular evening, my son Marcus and I were eating dinner, and my husband was there. And I was just looking at him with awe because he's just so beautiful. And I was pregnant with my little girl at the time, Shiloh. And so I was looking at my son and feeling my belly, and I was thinking to myself, okay, somehow I've made these bodies somehow in my, but where did his consciousness come from? Like, where did he come from? And it was just one of those moments of just, you know, when you just stop and think about everything, and it's just mind blowing. And so I just blurted out, and I wasn't expecting an answer. I blurted out, where did you come from? And he drops his fork and puts both of his arms up to the sky and looks up. And we were both just taken aback. And so then it prompted the next question, what is God like? And this, my son, my beautiful boy, had not spoken any words yet. He looks right at me and he says, light. And it was perfect and beautiful. And I wrote it down and I shared it with Wayne the next day. And he shared that story on his Facebook page. And he invited parents or people who are around children to ask their children questions, where they were from or what God is like. And the response that we got back was insane. I mean, people from all over the globe and thousands and thousands and thousands of stories just poured in. And we would get together and just scroll down and just read all these stories. And so then from there, we decided we've got to share this with the world. I mean, this is just, it's amazing. So we decided to put a book together, and that's how it came about.
So when you say the response was amazing, what kind of response, you know, like how many stories did you get?
Oh, thousands. And that's what I mean by amazing.
Wow.
I mean, thousands of stories. And then we invited people to send their stories to this email address. And, oh, my goodness, it was a definite task just to even go through and just pick out which ones would go in the book. And the interesting thing was that so many stories were exactly the same. They were the exact same stories. And from someone from, you know, America or Europe or India or, I mean, all over the globe. It just transcended any religious belief or race or anything. It was little kids saying that they were with grandma and grandpa who had passed before they came here. And they've met other family members before they came here, or that they just remember what God was like or what heaven was like, or stories of kids saying that they had past life memories, and that they remember choosing who their parents were going to be in this life. And the fact that so many of the stories were so similar and repetitive made me just gave me even more conviction that they were all just true, and more conviction of what lies beyond this earthly realm is just far greater than I've ever imagined.
Wow. Before I ask you about the best stories, what are the main common denominators then that were showing up independently?
The main common denominators? Well, I would say that our bodies are, Wayne would always say that we are not human beings having a spiritual experience, that we're spiritual beings having a temporary human experience. And so that was the main notion that came through with all of these stories, is that this is, this human experience is a temporary thing, and our souls do not die. They live on, and it's exciting. It gave both Wayne and I would have conversations about it all the time, and it gave us both discomfort and excitement what lies beyond.
I've been saying from the beginning that it just seemed so fitting that was Dr. Wayne Dyer's last book project.
Oh, I know.
Like he somehow planned it in advance.
I know. A lot of things seem to have happened that way in advance.
Absolutely amazing. So what are the most astounding, actually, first of all, what age range were approached with questions?
Well, it seems to be from the research I've done and the parents I've talked to and just everything that I've read, that the time that kids know can talk about it is when they start talking about, I don't know, a little before 2 years old, and then at about 5 is when they kind of start to forget. So you've got, it seems to be, there's a little window. There are definitely stories of some children that never lose that connection, which is wonderful, and which is what I would love with my children, to have them just not lose that connection. But from what I've read, it seems about 5 years old, most kids kind of start to forget and you know, start to get more into this realm, I guess I could say, so that's
common
the
ages. Mm-hmm. Were they all super positive stories?
No, a lot of them were sad. A lot of them, you know, there were a lot of kids that passed away, and the parents are recalling things that the children have said prior to their passing that they knew that they were going. There's stories of kids having this precognitive wisdom of something that's going to happen, whether it's a car accident or a miscarriage, or that the kids, you know, knew that their mom was going to, something is going to happen, or they've got a cancer in their stomach or something. So there's stories in here of children having knowings of future events, and there's stories of invisible friends, and which I used to always call them imaginary, but now it seems to be invisible is the correct term. So no, there's definite, you know, they're not all upbeat stories.
Mm. Well, I mean, we're talking about life and death and life and death, right? So that's not surprising. Mm-hmm. Just why I asked. Well, so what was your all-time top three mind-blowing, oh, my God, we have to write this book stories?
Oh, gosh. It's always a tough question because there's so many. Okay. Well, here's one. I'll read it to you. This is told by a lady named Kimberly. She said, when my son was about 4 years old, we took him shopping to a Walmart that we had never been to before. An elderly black man greeted us at the door with a smile saying, hello, welcome to Walmart. My son got so excited. He threw his hands up and waved and replied exuberantly, hey, how are you? He said it as if he were greeting an old friend that he hadn't seen in years. He was usually very shy of strangers, so this caught me off guard. Then without missing a beat, he looked at me enthusiastically and said, he was my friend. I knew him when I was in heaven with God. I was totally speechless, as was the elderly man. So I love that story. It makes me think of all those times that you, have you ever met someone and instantly you just, you feel like you know them, even though you've never met before, but you just feel this connection, like, I know you. And so it makes me feel maybe I did know that person. And there's obvious, so I love that story.
It's beautiful. How many stories are, like how many out of the thousands made it into the book?
Oh, let's see. There's about a little under 400 stories.
That's tons. So mm-hmm. Is there one that really people read and just go, wow, this is so real?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to think of Wayne's favorite story was the one. There's the one. Oh, yeah. Was the there's this mother, and she had a daughter who passed away at 1 year old, and she had sang this lullaby that she just made up to her daughter, and she sang it to her all the time. And after she passed away, she never sang that lullaby again because it was just too painful. And about 6 years later, she unplanned, she got pregnant and she had a baby. And when that baby was 2 years old, the baby started singing this lullaby. And the mom was just taken aback, and she, you know, grabs her daughter and, where did you hear that song? Where did you hear that song? And the little girl said, oh, don't you remember, Mommy? You used to sing it to me when I was a little baby.
Oh, I just got chills everywhere. Woo! That's amazing.
Yeah. It's absolutely amazing and beautiful that she came back to her. So,
can you share a couple more stories?
Yeah, I would love to. Let's see here. Okay. All right. Well, there's another story of this family. They moved into this home in this neighborhood, and one day when they were talking to the neighbors, they said that their son, ever since he moved into the house, had an imaginary friend named Lou. And this made the elderly couple, they stopped and were speechless. And apparently their son, Lou, used to live in that house, and he had passed away. So,
wow.
Yeah. And here this their little kid is hanging out with so imaginary friend, invisible friend named Luna. So that's an amazing story. Let's see here. Yep, that's that one. Gosh, there's this one. When my daughter Angelica was close to 3 years old, we were driving and just having a conversation, and she said, "Mommy, I love you to the moon and back again," which we said often to each other, so it wasn't out of the ordinary. I was joking with her and asked if she'd ever been to the moon, and she said no. I said, that's a long way up, like in heaven. Have you ever been to heaven? And she said, yes, you have. And she said, my mommy is in heaven, and I'm sorry that you never got to meet her. And the daughter said, yes, I did. And the mom said, what do you mean? And her daughter said, I saw her when I was in heaven with God. What my daughter said sent chills up and down my body, just the way the conversation was so casual and sort of grown up, yet how easily it came out of her mouth. I'll never forget that day.
Wow.
And
wow.
Here's another one where the mom was working on the computer and the son came up to her and he snuggled as close as he could and he looked at me in the eyes and very seriously said, I am forgetting how to fly. There's a lot of little, just real short vignettes in here of just kids saying that they're forgetting how to fly or they're forgetting what heaven is like. And it's just absolutely beautiful.
So
have you read the book? Is there a favorite story that you
I actually
read?
Haven't received. I think they were arranging to send us a press copy, but we didn't actually receive it. But I really want to read it.
Okay.
I would love to read it, every word. I mean, this whole topic is so huge for everybody, especially on the consciousness field. And, you know, it's one of the biggest questions mm-hmm. of life on any field here on this earth. The use of heaven, though, I want to ask about that.
Mm-hmm.
Define what you mean when you say heaven.
Well, we titled the book Memories of Heaven because there were a lot of references to when I was in heaven and with God or when I was in heaven. So what is your question? Like,
well, because it brings up all kinds of attachment of different meanings to the word. So that for them to use the word, they'd have to already have established an idea of what we mean by the word heaven. I'm thinking logically mm-hmm. right now. And mm-hmm. why that particular word was used, you know, as opposed to in between lives or, you know, you mentioned past lives mm-hmm. as well coming up. So mm-hmm. why the use of that word in particular? Like, why do you think they used it?
That's a good question. That is a good question. I don't have an answer for that. It could be, like you said, they had to have learned that word somewhere. So did they learn it from parents, or was it just an innate knowing that they came knowing that word? That's a good question.
Mm-hmm. Or is there certain truth to the concept that we have in earth brain mode? You know, like it brings up a lot of questions, mm-hmm. actually. So you don't mean it mm-hmm. in the religious context, though.
No, and like I said, with these stories, they're from all over the globe. So some of them are, you can tell that these people are definitely one religion or another, but that the parents were. But the stories, like I said, are so similar that it just shows that we are all, you know, together and one. And like I said, what comes next, it is just love and light. And yeah, no, this book is not one religion or another, and in heaven it's not depicting any sort of religion, if that answers your question.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So when you put all the stories,
You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul highlights. Life-changing spotlights she has shared with leading teachers in the human consciousness field since 1997. Go now to newsforthesoul.com to hear the full shows totally free. That's newsforthesoul.com.
I'm back. I went into heaven. Yeah. When you put all, you know, hit the dots, all the stories come in from all over the world, thousands of them. What truth? I mean, it's basically research that you've done, you know? And what's the nature of the next realm?
Well, it's another great question. I have a mind that is open to everything and attached to nothing. And it seems that it's the nature of the next realm is anything and everything that you can imagine, because it doesn't seem to be just one thing. But what it does seem like is that you do see loved ones on the other side, and that's a beautiful thing right there, and comforting.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's huge.
Yeah, and that, you know, you meet them and get to know them. I mean, the fact that a lot of these kids knew things about their deceased family members, like details, and like this one little kid, he said he misses his Uncle Ronnie, and the mom, her brother was Ron, and he had passed away, and he was only named Ronnie during his elementary school years, and it's just so he knew his Uncle Ronnie. That's, and so what lies beyond this realm? I think it's far greater than anything that we can imagine, but I think it sounds absolutely wonderful.
Well, like you say, just knowing that we aren't disconnected, I think that's probably one of the biggest fears, right, around passing,
mm-hmm.
and around it all. And
yeah.
Again, I just can't get over how fitting it was that this is Dr. Wayne Dyer's last project. I just, wow. He knew what he was doing. He planned this. So perfect. It's funny because I have my own experience, not with talking, you know, to my kids about what was before, but a pre-life mm-hmm. experience while I was pregnant, where I was sleeping and something woke me up and it was all dark and I was like, you know, like sleep paralysis where you can't move. And this presence mm-hmm. came in and said, hello, I'm going to be your child. I'm going to be a girl and I want you to name me Brianda, please. And it made me sound it out really like over and over. And then I fell back asleep. And this was like in the first trimester.
Wow.
But yeah, right. And it was so annoying. Knowing her now, like it's she's absolutely tapped in, tuned in, right? And it's funny, Dr. Dyer, I introduced him at an event here in Vancouver many years ago when he met my kids. We had a bonding moment over having teenagers, but that's another story. But it was so real. Like I woke up the next day, I thought, what the hell was that? And I went to write it down in case I ended up actually having a baby girl, because I was certainly going to honor that message. I wasn't going to anger the netherworld. So I tried to find that name, and there was no, it doesn't exist. There was the Briannas or similar names, but Brianda did not exist. So I had to make up the spelling and write it down. Of course, everyone thought
so
I was
So did you
insane.
Name your daughter that?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my God, yes.
Oh,
and, yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, that shows you that connection beyond that birth life here, this plain thing. It was so real, you know. So that's why I was so intrigued about this book, and I want to read every word when I get my hands on it eventually.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it, yeah, this book really helped me. And I'm really good friends with all of Wayne's kids, and it helped all of us kind of cope with Wayne's transition. And that I feel that you can still communicate anytime that you want to with anyone that's crossed over. You just talk to them, you know.
I mean, you know, when you've had someone pass, I mean, you can feel a presence sometimes once you've gone through that, you know. I mean, these stories reflect our innate knowing if we kind of get out of our head, I think. I think that's why this is such a powerful project that you guys put together.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of getting out of our head, I think that's why these children around 5 years old start to forget, because I think that's mm-hmm. when they start really starting just to get in their own head and develop that, the ego of who they are.
Wow. Did Dr. Wayne Dyer have any other favorite stories out of the bunch to share?
Oh, gosh. Oh, my goodness. He just loved this book. This was, we were so happy and proud to put this together. He was intrigued by the whole chapter of choosing your parents. There's a whole chapter of, that was one that was interesting, because I'd never really considered choosing parents. And Wayne, his, you know, father had abandoned him. And so, you know, why would certain people choose these situations that they're in? And he tells a funny story, and he's told it many times, and maybe you heard about it, but his daughter, Serena, when she was a teenager, a little bit younger than that, she was, you know, being sassy and calling her dad out on whatever, and Wayne said, you know, Serena, I think you need to turn that finger around and point it back to yourself, because it's your fault that you are having this situation, because, and that you're mad at me. You should have pick someone else to be your father. And she said, you're telling me that I chose you to be my father. And and he said, yep. And she said, well, I must have been in a hurry. And she turned, turned around and stomped off. And he you know, says at the time he was just saying it and making it up. And then after reading, going through all these stories, he thought, oh, I think there's actually truth to what I was saying. But just story upon story of I picked you to be my mom, or I picked you to be my dad. And I asked Wayne, I said, well, why wouldn't you choose your parents? And he said that had he not had the life that he had, he wouldn't have done and been who he was, you know, and who he became to be. And he said he feels like he chose his father to teach him forgiveness, and that's what he wanted to learn in this lifetime was forgiveness, and that he hadn't grasped that yet. So that's why he chose this path, possibly.
I in particular would love to read that chapter because, you hear the spiritual community say that all the time, but to really get it. And then I always wonder, because I was also abandoned at birth, but then I'm thinking, did I choose the next guys or was that a screw up? You know, the people I ended up with for a time. And it raises all kinds of interesting questions. And finding our lesson in that is very powerful. Do you feel that he fully achieved that goal?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yep. Definitely. Yeah.
So tell me what all the different chapters are.
Okay. There are 8 chapters. And the first chapter is Memories of Heaven, Memories of Past Lives, Memories of Choosing Parents, Memories of Family Reincarnations and Role Reversals. Mm. That one's just interesting. So many stories of kids saying, I used to be, isn't it funny how I used to be your mom and now this time you're my mom?
Wow.
I mean, and just, you know, you read one story saying that, and you're like, huh, that's interesting. But then you read 1,000 stories saying that exact. Memories of spiritual connections to our source, mystical and precognitive wisdom, invisible friends and spiritual visitations, and angel stories.
Mm-hmm.
There's this one angel story that I just love. This mom, she was a single mom, and she said it was a very, very proud day when she was able to buy her first home and buy the race car bed for her son that she always promised him. And so she said it was the first time that she took her son to see their new home. And she said he was usually very calm and reserved. He was 3 years old. And they drove up to the home, and he was screaming and jumping up and down and saying, look, look, look. And he saw angels dancing all over the roof. And he said, can't you see them, Mommy? Look at the angels. They're dancing. They're dancing.
Wow.
And just celebrating. And she said she was more touched that son could, that he had that connection, that he could see that. And, oh, I just love that.
That is beautiful. Were there quite a few angel stories?
Yeah, there were. There's some stories in detail of kids describing certain angels. There's a story of a little kid who said he couldn't sleep because there are too many angels in his room every night. And so the mom said, well, why don't you just ask them to leave? And he said that, you know, he asked one of them to stay, and he described him. And there's a lot of stories of people having, like, a certain visitor, and I don't know if you call it an angel or just a visitor of a family member that had deceased, but they just visit and watch over and help them up in the playground. And,
what was the most intriguing precognitive story?
Wow, gosh. I would have to say the most interesting, let me see here. There's a lot of, you know, the children saying that they were waiting for their brother or sister to come, and the mom didn't know that she was even pregnant yet. That's my own experience. When I didn't even know I was pregnant with my little girl, and my son Marcus came right up to me and patted my belly, and he couldn't speak yet, but he was saying, baby, baby, and just patting my belly. And,
wow.
And at night, he would snuggle right. He would put his head on top of my belly. Ever since I became pregnant, he started sleeping with his head on my belly until obviously it became too big. But he knew I was pregnant before my husband and I did. And and with all these stories, there's so many stories in here of, like I said, of little kids saying that they couldn't wait for their brother or their sister to come, and which makes me feel, you know, just excited to think that quite possibly my son and daughter were hanging out in heaven before they were here, or hanging out wherever together before they were here, and that they were, because they have got such a connection. They love each other so much. It's so beautiful to see.
Yeah. It is beautiful.
Oh, yeah, so... Oh gosh, there's stories of there's this one story in here of this little girl who was in the back of the car and she started screaming stop, and the mom's trying to get her to quiet down, but she was relentless and screaming to stop. So they were on the highway. Eventually, she pulled over to the shoulder, and within like 30 seconds, there's a semi truck had turned over and there's a huge pile up and lots of deaths and injuries, and had she not pulled over, they would have been one in the pile up. And she in the book here, they said they ended up having to sit in their car for hours because of the pile up. They couldn't leave, but had they not have pulled over, like, the daughter knew.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul highlights, life-changing spotlights she has shared with leading teachers in the human consciousness field since 1997. Go now to newsforthesoul.com to hear the full shows totally free. That's newsforthesoul.com.
I know we're coming to the end of our time together, and I just want to sneak in as many stories as we can.
It's a beautiful book, and I'm really proud to have done this with Dr. Wayne Dyer.
So how did this book help his own children in the sudden unexpected passing of him?
Well, like I said, it just gives you more conviction, and that the soul lives on, and that you do see your loved ones when you pass. But not only that you can still, you know, when you feel their presence, or you can communicate with them, and that they didn't leave. They just went through a different door.
Mm-hmm. Different dimension.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So.
Well,
yeah,
we're
not our bodies.
And I mean, he's been saying that, you know, ever since he's been teaching, and that we're having a spiritual experience and temporarily here. So just again, it's so fitting that this is his last book. If you've tuned in halfway through this show, I'm interviewing Dee Garns, co-author of Dr. Wayne Dyer's last book, Memories from Heaven, fittingly. And feel like he's sort of sitting in a third chair with us today. Have you had any kind of sense of him tuning in since he passed?
Oh yeah, oh definitely. And my son has seen him many times. And and we'll, you know, ask him, you know, where's Wayne? Where did Wayne go? And he says just very casually, Wayne's gone. Wayne went home. Wayne went home. That's what he always says, is that Wayne is gone and Wayne is home. And, you know, it's interesting. Not once has my son, you know, asked me, where is Wayne? Or, because we were with Wayne every day, like every single day. And we ate most meals together. And then all of a sudden he's gone physically. And not once has my son asked about him being gone. He just, which makes me feel a conviction that he knows what he knows, that Wayne is in the spiritual realm now, I guess. And yeah, and the day after Wayne passed, we were standing on our lanai, and we were looking out at the water, and a rainbow was over the water, and it was just beautiful. And Marcus pointed out, and he says, Wayne. And I looked, and he said, look, Mommy, Wayne walk, big house.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow. How old is Marcus now?
Now he just turned 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's a fitting place to end for our conversation today. Holy smokes, that's Powerful stuff. Memories from Heaven, Dr. Wayne Dyer's last book, co-authored with Dee Garns. I've been talking to Dee this hour on News for the Soul, and I'm so glad that we were able to connect and have this conversation, Dee.
Oh, yes, me too. Well, thanks for having me on the show.
You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul highlights, life-changing spotlights she has shared with leading teachers in the human consciousness field since 1997. Go now to newsforthesoul.com to hear the full shows totally free. That's newsforthesoul.com.
And now, soul searchers, here's more news for your soul.
And we're back. I'm Nicole Whitney. This is News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained and beyond. I'm here with Danian Brinkley for the rest of the hour. We're taking your calls. And, okay, well, go to the website, newsforthesoul.com. All the info will be there. Let's go to line four. Nick, welcome to, or sorry, line five. Nick, welcome to News for the Soul.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Nick.
For Danian.
Okay, what's your question?
Where are you calling us from?
Vancouver.
All right.
Yes. Hi, how you doing?
We're doing great.
Okay. Yeah, I want
have
to ask you.
Have you been listening to the show?
Pardon me?
Have you been listening
yes,
to
I
the
have.
Show?
Yes, I have.
Well, Uri Geller bit a spoon on Connie Chung.
Oh.
I'm doing great, Nick.
Oh, okay. I want to ask you.
Okay.
Is it possible that people on the other side that have lived here before, right, still pursue and continue occupations that they've done previously here on Earth? Or,
okay.
or what? Like,
so
what,
if
would
someone
you...
transcends from this world to the next world.
Yes.
Do they enter a level in the seven heavens, like Genesis says, that they continue the job that they're doing?
Oh, really?
So that's what, is that what you were asking?
Yeah, no, what I'm asking is, like, okay, let's say people have done certain occupations here on Earth, right, if they could still pursue them and continue on the other side or wherever they go.
Yeah, well, if they leave to the other side, they will, most of us are the same, except they will expand about 100 million times more in the quality of the profession that they want to do.
Oh, so it's similar to what they've done here on Earth then?
Well, it is in the first three or four levels.
Okay.
And then once you get really accustomed to achieving, even in greater levels of consciousness, more expanded perspective, and a deeper understanding of the divinity of you as a co-creator.
Right.
Then your consciousness raises, and you see a whole different you.
Really?
Even more powerful, more wonderful, more skilled you.
Really?
Now, whether that spiritual being, which is like the fifth, sixth, and seventh levels of heaven, that spiritual being may not do the same.
Okay.
But in the first two or three levels, remember, anything that you're doing on this side,
right,
and then you move to the other side,
right,
what you want to learn about is now this, is to see how much greatness you can inspire in the people you encounter.
Right.
Because you get a chance to feel them feel that greatness when you pass to the other side.
Yeah. Is it possible that you could still go to other worlds that are like similar to Earth?
Or other dimensions.
Yeah, I should say other dimensions or realms.
Yeah, you can go to other worlds. I mean, but those are mental realities, you know, like being a Vesuvian or a Martian. You know, there's a lot of... Well, wait, I don't have a... There's a lot of esoteric relationship, like
right.
the astrological relationships to it, especially in the Mayans' perspective on what that identity is, okay? But a person, there is the person, once they enter their spiritual self, leave the body, go through the tunnel, met by relatives, panoramic life review, return to the crystal city or the level of consciousness in heaven that you come from and the order in the group that you come from. Okay, once that happens, then you have a choice after that about whether you move dimensionally. Like in quantum physics, you have a theory called the quantum entanglement theory, but it's based on an 1801 theory that's called the multi-dimensional or multi-universe theory in quantum physics, and developed by a guy named Deutsch. Well, if you believe that there's a cell phone, a DVD or a CD, all those work based on a multi-dimensional reality. I know that that part of quantum physics is true because I have seen that on the other side.
Wow.
So you could move dimensionally, Nick. You could move dimensionally. Or you could move through a higher spiritual cycle, which is like what we call the planetary influence of this universe.
You know, I have to tell you, Danny, that is not something I'd ever given sort of focus or thought to. It's never occurred to me. Working my butt off in the next, you know, after I go through the light and all of that stuff, that I'd still be having to do my thing here.
Well, we evolve. Once you pass the seventh heaven, I don't know what's out there. I don't know. But Here, we just see how good we are in a muddled, slow, difficult, like walking in mud. But over there, it's like digital compression. I mean, we're streaming worldwide. We bandwidth. We're just doing everything we want to do. But we always stay true to a certain, like if you were an angel, let's say there are 178 orders of angels in the ancient traditions of Catholicism and into the relationship with Hebrew. There are these types, like from the fairy all the way to a Sepharian or an archangel or all that. Well, you just do what that order that you come from. You continue to do that, and you still get to be yourself, but you continue to do those kinds of things. And, Nick, it's exciting. You know, it's exciting. It's when you leave this world and you see how much this world was put together by you and the love of a powerful force called spirit or divinity, then you see how really cool you are, how smart you are, and how brave you are. It's always humbling to me every time, no matter how stupid I am and what I mess up. A life of you just makes me realize the greatness that God trusts in me.
No, I know why you keep wanting to die all the time. There you go.
I don't want to die. I want to keep living, but, you know, I don't get it off the first couple of times.
Let's take Sharon.
I hope that made sense, Nick.
Oh, absolutely. Trying to whoosh us through here because we've got a whole bunch of calls and we're down to our last 10 minutes. This goes so fast. Line one, Sharon, welcome to News for the Soul.
Hi, Danian. Hi, Nicole.
Hello.
Hi, Sharon.
Much love to you both from my little corner of the world.
Much love
from us to you.
Thank you.
So, what's your question?
Oh, what's your story?
Oh, yeah. What's my story? The show's not long enough for that.
That's another show.
Basically wanted to know if you could pick up anything on my father who passed away in December.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Now, let me tell you right off the bat. He set everybody up. He had everybody come to visit, and he sweated the two. It was looked like a brother who didn't want to come because, I hate to say this about your brother, but his wife runs the show.
Okay.
Controls everything from, like, a subtle place.
Mm-hmm. My brother?
No, your brother's wife.
I don't really have
You don't have a brother?
Well, I have a biological family in which there's a brother and two half-sisters, but we're estranged, and I know he's not married, so...
Okay, so the sister controls... One of those two sisters literally controls the other sister and brother.
Okay, that has no relation to my dad, though. This is my adoptive father.
Okay, but I'm trying to figure out... This is what I'm picking up. Where's your biological dad?
Vernon.
Okay, now, here's what you're relating to. And just take a breath and listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
As you've dealt with your father and been isolated from the family, you have a sister... And she's not bad. We don't have bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
But she's in control of that family, your other brother and sister. She, like, controls it all. And she, like, tells your father the things, like, he wants to hear. She probably is the baby. You're still dealing with that as a person. And as we search for your father, which is now your adopted father, you can see how it traps me, what will trick me. Because the moment I hear it, I start exploring your biological family because I can see where your heart is. Now, remember, he brought everybody in, and he set you up and talked to each of you individually, and he was in the total control of the end of his life, right?
Mm-hmm.
He knew and left each of you in this entire family and your extended family. He left you with greatness, serenity, comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he comes back to me now. As you are in this family, it is changing so fast. It's like it's being lost again. You're being lost again in this adoptive family, almost that the way you were lost once in your biological family, the instability and the insecurity. And you don't quite know how to go back in between those two. That's where the issue is that he needs for you to look at and to tell you to laugh more. You're not laughing enough, and you have not lost him as you feel you've lost your biological family. That's
all
what
right.
He's trying to convey.
Okay, that would make sense.
See, he's slick, too, boy. He has that whole crowd. Everybody you know, he brought you all in together. Then he'd separate you, isolate you, get you to come sometimes. Somebody come later, and he's got the whole thing worked out when he passed from this world. He's funny. I'm right. He played it just right.
Well, thank you for that, Danian.
And thank you for calling us. And look, hey, as it gets a little unstable around you, he's with you.
Yeah, I feel that.
He is.
Yeah.
Does that help you?
Yeah.
Okay. I hit it. I'm right.
Okay, thanks, guys. You
All
have
right,
a good
thank
night.
You.
Bye.
Thanks, Sharon.
You know what, Nick? Let me say one more thing,
okay.
And I'll do fast so we take another call. I am so thankful for News for the Soul, and I know you are, that people call and that they trust us. Now, we're not trying to do anything, but in our hearts, I'm not trying to comfort it. If I don't get it, I don't get it. I will say, I don't have anybody, I don't pick it up. Those are the kind of calls that I want to always be able to have. People can open their hearts up and they can turn to us. We'll open up our hearts and we'll answer with everything and every skill we have.
Absolutely.
We're going to bend the spoon on February tonight.
All right. Angela, line two, welcome to News for the Soul.
Hi.
Hi, Angela.
Two questions. The first is my father who passed away. I was wondering if you could tell me anything about him, how he's doing, has any advice for me?
Okay, wait a second. Now, he passed away in the last 3 years?
5.
Okay. And he was sick, it's been 5 years? And how, was he sick for like a 2-year period? I mean, was he sick for a long time?
2 years.
Okay, got him. All right. Now, you have taken a piece of furniture. Let me get it now. You have taken a piece of furniture that was one of the special pieces of furniture. It looks like a bureau or a dresser drawer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that you have in your house that when you look at it, you're thinking about them all the time. Or someone that you go and see, a relative, has that piece of furniture?
Yes.
Okay. Now, here's how to get in contact with him. You clean it off. Clean it. And you put a white cloth on it, and a picture, and music that you normally would think of, and then a candle. And then you sit quietly as you always walk past this thing, reminded of it, so you can just feel and be close. What you do is you take a deep breath, and you light that little candle, and you think of the funniest thing that's ever happened between you and him. And there were some really funny things. He was like a straight-laced guy, but you could watch him get really funny. He would have two personalities. The world saw him one way, but you saw him another. And you think of the funniest thing that happened between you and him, and you'll be amazed at the feeling that'll come around you.
Okay.
And here's my advice for you. Get you a spoon, and come look at these pictures of Nicole's, and be at our party on February the 9th. That's
okay.
My advice.
What you said made absolute sense.
Remember, tonight, this is the second week of a system of programs that will lead to February the 9th, where you're going to become a healer and a transformer of the world, who in the world knows what a year from now will be if we can pull that off by February the 9th. Now, come to these programs, and I love you very much, and light that candle.
I will. Thank you.
Thanks, Angela. Let's try to just squish in one more. Why not? Everyone's been holding so long. Line 6, Ron, welcome to News for the Soul.
Hi, Nicole. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Ron.
I'm a fairly new caller.
Welcome to the family.
Thank you so much. And, it's about my brother and actually my mother as well. But I was present when my brother left this physical plane, and I heard the last words that he said.
What were they?
Well, they put the mask over him to give him oxygen, and he struggled with that, and he said, I'm going to die. That was the last words.
Well, let me tell you why he could say that. Ready?
Yeah.
When a person sees and they know they've gotten everything done and they have to face all themselves in their lives, because when you guys were visiting with him, mostly everybody talked about the family. People sat around and talked about things in the family because it helps him remember good times and bad times, questions about what Aunt Charlie did, Hazel's son, and all that kind of garbage.
Okay.
That's what you did. So as he listened to that, I'm just telling you what I could feel him doing. As he listened to that, knowing that he was going to get the oxygen and feels better,
right,
he said, I'm going to die, but let me tell you what had to happen. Someone had come for him.
Right.
Now, that's what you're not telling. And everybody knew it. You guys knew. Because you saw him look away. You saw him see him. And I think he said who it was. And then he said, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, he's telling me. You leave out some of the best points, but you know what? When you're going through it, I am thankful that you call us as a new caller. Welcome to this family.
Thank you.
And I can see it, because they will come to me and show it to me, because they want you to know and understand. And he was safe when he left, and he knew he said, I'm going to die, because he had seen that those who were going to come get him, and he was happy.
Well, you know, when in the hospital, I had a nun.
Pass now.
I had a nun say a blessing over his body, and the very next day I could feel his presence very strongly coming to visit me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were really tight.
Yeah.
You know?
He wanted to make sure that you were okay and that you understood. Do you remember what the prayer was that the nurse said? Because
no.
I'd like to have a copy of it.
No, not offhand, but...
Did you find that nurse?
It's been almost 10 years now. Actually, around February 8th or 9th is when he passed away.
Well, I'll bet you if you come to the Boone's...
I want to.
Spoon-bending business, he'll be there.
And I have a lot of energies, a lot of, and I'd like to bend some spoons.
Well, you come to February the 9th, and we'll get your brother to come.
Absolutely.
Let's do it. A good time or what?
On that note,
how would you like to learn how to bend metal with your mind for real? Well, you can. News for the Soul is home to the one and only Spoon Bending Kit, an instantly downloadable digital gift that contains 2 hours of audio and visual instructions designed to get your mind out of the way and teach you how to truly affect solid matter just with your thoughts. Find out once and for all how you are affecting your reality with every thought you think. Don't let anything block you from creating the life that you want. Download the newsforthesoul.com Spoon Bending Kit today. Just go to newsforthesoul.com right now and click on the bent spoon. That's newsforthesoul.com.
The News for the Soul Radio Network airs daily and our archives are always totally free. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
This is News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained, and he's here, Danion Brinkley. 3 near-death experiences, survived 2 lightning strikes, open heart surgery, brain aneurysm, and God knows what else. Welcome back to the show.
Well, I was looking forward to it. It's always a delight to come and be a part of News for the Soul, Nicole, because there is so much going on in the world, and most of it doesn't seem to be too good. And so to counter that, by bringing information that opens the heart and alerts the consciousness that there is even greater wonderment yet for us to behold is always a delight. You should be really proud because we've watched it grow. I mean, I've been a part of this for a pretty good while now, and just to be a part of it, to be able to bring news that helps people better understand what's going on around them and to keep a spiritual focus in it. I think that the greatest news for the soul is that we are spiritual beings. You know, after going through, like you said, struck by lightning in 1975, declared clinically dead for 28 minutes, completely paralyzed for 6 days, partially paralyzed for 7 months, took 2 years to learn to walk and feed myself, and then struck by lightning again in 1978, which led, because of those complications, which led to open heart surgery in 1989, and then 3 subdual hematomas exploding in my brain and lead me to brain surgery. And they were going to do brain surgery and open heart surgery at the same time.
Yeah.
And they went in just to relieve the pressure, gave me an 8% chance of surviving, and they went in to relieve the pressure by drilling holes in my head and then draining this massive amount of blood out, which is the only way what led to me surviving this. But I think the best news for the soul and for the whole world is we have to keep in mind these things. We're all afraid of a lot of things, and so much fear is in the world and terrorism, but we have to keep the true part. The truest part is our spiritual self. One of the greatest lessons we can all learn about the physical material world is the basic building block of the physical reality is the atom. Unequivocally, undeniable, all forms of science, physics, quantum physics, still comes to this one conclusion. The basic building block of physical reality is the atom. Well, we all now know, because of quantum physics and physics, that the atom is 94.6% empty space. So when you look at that it's 94.6% empty space. The physical world can never be more than 5% of reality. And once you put that into focus, that it can never be more than 5%, and then second, you are 70% water. So your physical reality is you're basically a water treatment plant. Now, what is that other 94%? It's not empty space. It's the spiritual matter that composes the universe. It is who you are. So News for the Soul spends a lot of time looking at that, because once you've been through the near-death experience, put in conjunction with that science has proven that the atom is the basic building block, then the real 94% of your life is your spiritual quest to understand who you are. When I had my first near-death experience in 1975, I never heard of it. I never would have believed it if someone had come and talked to me about it. But then all of a sudden, I got a starring role in a near-death experience. I got struck by lightning, and I lifted out of my body, which is the most freeing point. It was so freeing to finally be out of this body, and then to be able to look around and see the things all around me. It's going to be amazing to most people that when you're dead, you see a lot clearer.
You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul highlights.
life-changing spotlights she has shared with leading teachers in the human consciousness field since 1997. Go now to newsforthesoul.com to hear the full shows totally free. That's newsforthesoul.com.
The News for the Soul radio network airs daily, and our archives are always totally free. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com. News for Your Soul. Life-changing broadcasts to souls around the world since January 1997.
Yeah, man. We all love to hear the good news. So we all should rush to hear the good news. Right. But we can just find the good news.
NSTS. News for the soul at the very best. NSTS. News for the soul at the very best. NSTS. News for the soul at the very best.
Yeah, man, just log on to www.newsforthesoul.com. Can you hear me?
We are a life-changing talk radio. We give you good news to keep you on the go. And you can also share the good news, you know. And that's the way we keep in the flow. We only focus on the positive things, yeah. We only focus on the positive things, yeah. We not go put none of the negative in there. We not go put none of the negative in there. NSTS. News for the soul at the very best. NSTS. News for the soul at the very best.
Log on to www.newsforthesoul.com. Every time. Come hear the good news. Share the good news.
NSTS.